The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the #1 recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It is our #2 of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross in for Femi today alongside our GM, Michael Lombardi. Michael, I want to get to a lot of the things you had to say in your 2024 NFL draft notes in the writing spotlight today. But before that, I want to ask you about some very interesting comments that I saw come out of Pittsburgh. I've got an affinity for Danny Smith back in his DC days as their special teams coordinator. I think he's one of the best in the biz. And he's at Pittsburgh these days, been there for quite some time now. And we heard a comment that came from Jaylen Warren that said that basically Danny Smith said that with these new rules that we're going to have this year in 2024 NFL with the kick return rules, that Justin Fields, you know, former quarterback of the Bears, might play a little special teams. Is that just to give other defenses and special team coordinators nightmares, or is that a possible reality in the Steel City?
Well, it's hard to have a nightmare if you've never seen it before, right?
Right.
And so, like, it would be a nightmare if they put, you know, a returner, if Cordell Patterson was back there, who they have on their team, right? That's the one who's going to create the nightmare. Putting Fields back there, certainly he fits the criteria of what you need back there now, size, speed, power, right? Initial fast speed, right? You got to get going because if you can break it, everybody's so close together. It's just if you get a crease, you got a chance to get it going and the return game will be back into it. The only thing wrong about this new rule is it's taking the onside kick out of it. But look, Fields has got size and speed just like Patterson does. And Patterson, we know, is one of the all-time great kickoff return guys. I mean, I don't know if there's many guys that you feel like could change the game like he has. And I think ultimately, you know, that Fields fits that pattern. And I don't know if they want to do it or if they just want to get him on the field a little bit to get him going. But certainly the one thing when Fields takes off and goes, it's a problem. He can run. I mean, that's the strength of what he does is running. It isn't throwing.
Mm. Do you like this new rule, Michael? Do you think it's going to inject the return game again? If that, well, it's so funny. They tried to get the return game out for so long, it felt like. Right, to get rid of that because the physicality of it. Now they're trying to bring it back in.
Well, what they've tried to get rid of is the collisions, the running and the buildup of collisions. Right, that's what they wanted to get out of the game. That's where they feel like is the most susceptible to injury. Right, is the player running 30 yards at full speed and collides with another player who's run 20 yards at full speed? Oh no, what happens? Mm. So, you know, this takes that out of it a little bit. It's still going to have violent collisions because we see violent collisions on a 5-yard run when a safety comes downhill and tackles the back in the hole. That's not going to go away. But I do like it. I just don't like the ability, as someone who understands you have to manage each game differently, is when you take out the onside kick. And look, I'm complaining about maybe 0.05% of the games, right? Because onside kicks aren't a part of every single game. But there are some times you want to gain an extra possession. But to me now, with the way the rules are, you know, you still got to practice your onside kick, but you have a much better chance at getting the ball back because, you know, they have to declare they're on an onside kick at the end of the game. So when you're down two scores, you know, you're going to have to, hey, we're onside kicking here, and you get your hands teams out there and you got a chance to see it. I do like the return coming back into the game. That I do like. I don't like taking the kick, taking the onside surprise out.
Let's talk a little bit about the Steelers in some more depth here, because I know you've written this up here in your draft notes, in your writing spotlight here. When it comes to teams that I think maybe adjusted win totals because of what they've done in the offseason, not just with the draft, but also free agency. And the Steelers are one of those teams that you highlighted here. Tell me what you like so far about what the Steelers have been able to do in the offseason.
Well, I think every team, when the season ends, you have to evaluate your team in three areas, right? That's what I wrote about in Gridiron Genius. You know, when you're in the National Football League in a front office, you're basically like a veterinarian. The patient never speaks to you. You bring your dog to the vet and the dog doesn't say my paw hurts, or the dog doesn't say my ears bother me, right? The vet's got to have a systematic approach to figure out what's wrong. It's the same thing with football teams, same thing with sports teams. This is where what JVT said in the last hour about team construction. This is how you build teams, is through understanding players, coaches, and schemes. Those three areas, how the players fit within the scheme, how the coaching develops the players within the scheme. And when those three are married together, you will get positive results. You'll get teams that look a lot better than what we perceive their talent level. And that's been the case with Pittsburgh, right? Everybody doesn't think Mike Tomlin's going to win many games, but yet he does. And this offseason, I think they've really improved their team. Because I think Arthur Smith, for whatever anybody wants to talk about him, and it's all his fault that happened in Atlanta, because we know Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot is undisputed heavyweight champion of the world in building teams. We understand that. So it was all Arthur Smith's fault why they won 21 games over the last 3 years. But he can run the football, and he understands how to build a running game, and he understands how to do a play action pass game. And the improvements that they made, the Steelers in their offensive line, will certainly help that. And then defensively, they've been searching for a player to replace Ryan Shazier since 2017 or 16, 17, I think, when he got hurt. Maybe it was 19. You know, and so because of that, what people don't understand, and this happens on Twitter quite a bit, David, you know, people make fun of the Steelers when they see a linebacker trying to cover a slot receiver. Well, they don't really understand the defense at all. They're just making fun of something that they don't know anything about. Right. The reason that happens is because they're running a certain coverage and that backer has first to flat, and they need speed at backer because they want to rush their two rush ends. So they need their two inside linebackers to really defend the width of the field. And they've lacked that. You know, they really have lacked that. Landon Roberts. I mean, go through all the guys, Miles Jack. They brought in guy after guy after guy to fill that void, and they haven't been able to do it. I think they have this year with Patrick Queen. And I think really the rookie that they drafted, Peyton Wilson, in the third round, I think that gives them a lot of versatility. Now, they're not great in the secondary in terms of their corner. Joey Porter's got to play really well. But I like the team, and I like the team's toughness, and I like the coaching. I like the new scheme they'll employ offensively, and I like the talent they've assembled around that team. So you're going to see players make plays. I mean, look, this team with George Pickens and Roman Wilson, who they drafted in the third round, I think they've got a chance to create some noise in a really, really hard division.
Let's stay in the Keystone State, and certainly as a Cowboy backer, I was not pleased to see the Eagles and what they've done in the offseason, because I'm with you, Michael. I think they've upgraded, starting with the coordinators, but also what other moves, tangible moves with the players and their draft did you like about what Howie Roseman and company have been able to do there in Philadelphia?
Well, I think what Philly did this offseason is they said, okay, what happened last year? Why were we so bad? And we were really bad because we're old in the secondary. That was one of the things. And we were really bad because our defensive front, which we count on to cover up all the sins of our defense, wasn't what it needed to be. But more than anything, they didn't get the same production out of Jalen Hurts. He was aloof. He wasn't connected to the team. And I think they let Miles Sanders go, and they felt like we can replace him with Swift. But they missed the power. their offensive line was still really good, but they missed the power. And I think signing Barkley wasn't about to improve their running game. Signing Barkley was about to improve Jalen Hurts, to give him more of a play-action pass. Because 2 years ago, they scored 204 points in the second quarter. And that's where they built leads on team. And then that allowed their defensive line to attain to achieve 60 sacks of the 70 that the team got. And so there were complementary football going on there. And that was really important. And I think what the Eagles have done this offseason is they've tried to regenerate that defensive front. They signed Bryce Huff from the Jets. Basically, they traded Hassan Riddick for Bryce Huff, right? Riddick had a good year, but they traded him out. Now, they got to get Carter and Davis, the two Georgia kids, to play well. But for the most part, their team is pretty solid. And if Barkley can stay healthy, they've improved the secondary with the addition of Mitchell and DeJean. And they've improved their front. And so, look, they're always going to be light at linebacker. That's just how the Eagles operate, right? Whether it's N'Kobe Dean or Jeremiah Trotter Jr. or Devin White, who was kind of seen better days, or even Oren Burks, who played with the Niners last year. They're always going to go light at linebacker because they're not going to put any money into it. So that front's really got to come through for them. And I think it's going to be a huge year for those two tackles.
Let's go out west to two L.A. teams. Let's go with the Rams because Sean McVay, you lose 99. Aaron Donald, he retires. But do you think that they've done enough despite losing that monster and Hall of Famer to be that they've still upgraded in the offseason?
Well, you know, look, he's not a replaceable player. In my last book, Football Done Right, he was in the top 50 players. And I wrote it 2 years ago. You know, by the time it comes out, it takes a while. So, you know, he's unreplaceable. Let's face it. You don't just turn around and replace Reggie White. You don't turn around and replace Aaron Donald. But Brendan Fisk is a really good player. Thankfully, you know, Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot didn't think he was good enough. And the Rams gave away a lot to trade up to get the tackle. Terry decided to take a kid from Clemson who was third team all ACC. Think about that for a while. But the draft really proved two defensive front players that they needed. Verse from Florida State and then Fisk from Florida State too. That'll help. And then they've improved their offensive line. They want to be an inside zone team. They want to run the inside zone, and they improved both their guard position. They got Dotson playing at a higher level last year than he did for Pittsburgh, and they signed Jonah Jackson from Detroit. Now, they got to stay healthy. We know that. And they've got really good skill players, and Stafford's got to stay healthy. He wants another contract, more guarantee. But the addition of Williams and Blake Corum in the backfield, when Williams was humming last year, they could run the football. So I really like what they did. I like the Rams team. I still think they're behind in depth. Their corner situation is going to be tenuous in terms of can White come back from the injuries that he sustained in Buffalo, and can they cover? They've got two corners on their team, starting corners that were basically cast off from the teams that let them go. Darius Williams from Jacksonville and White from Buffalo. So that's going to be the concern.
Yeah, it is fascinating because I think most people look at Sean McVay and think that he airs it out. No, you're exactly right. He wants to run the football first. Blake Corum is going to be interesting to go with Williams there in that backfield. All right, when we come back, let's talk more NFL draft from a guy who's been there, done that as well. Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network is going to join us next right here on the Lombardi Line.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Well, look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. For a limited time only, we're going to be offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. I'm going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. So with VSiN Pro, you're going to gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which and who has the best win percentage in ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, our exclusive betting splits, showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. Michael, I know we always love to catch up with Bucky Brooks, of course, does a great job at the NFL Network, knows all about this draft process very, very well, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Bucky, this time of year, now that the draft has come and gone, and I always love it getting from Michael's perspective, as a former player's perspective, what would you tell somebody getting ready to go to those rookie camps this week here for six of those NFL teams? What's that first impression like after you've been drafted?
I would start telling them right after the combine, right after they finish their pro days, that they need to change their training to put themselves in the best position to be in great shape. Because so much of what you're doing when it comes to mini camps and OTAs and training camp requires you to be in great shape so you can focus. And the one thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to be in survival mode when you should be focusing on thriving within the respective scheme that you're playing in. And I think most young guys miss the importance of the conditioning because this is the longest year of their kind of pro playing career because they never have a break. They go from playing on the field to doing the all-star games, to doing the combine, to then like jumping right into the pro stuff, playing the regular season, then the postseason. And so if you're not in great shape, you're going to fall off in the middle of the regular season. So that would be my advice to them. Get in the best physical condition that you can so you won't necessarily hit that rookie wall.
Yeah, and that rookie wall gets them all. And that's why we see so many guys with hamstrings because you can tell them, but they think they got it. And you know they never do. Bucky, I want to know, what was your reaction the minute you heard that the Falcons selected Michael Penix?
I feel like this is deja vu because I've heard your take on this so many different times, right? I've listened to the show, I've listened to the Lombardi Line, and I know like where you come from. It. Well, my biggest thing is, and I think you made great points in the past on this, like, the Atlanta Falcons, if Michael Penix was going to be the guy, the Atlanta Falcons knew that because you had opportunities to see him not only during the regular season, you see him during the Senior Bowl, you talk to him and saw him during the combine, and all of that stuff happens before free agency. So to me, I was surprised to say one. And then I tried to back up and was like, okay, well, look, the Green Bay Packers have done this thing with Jordan Love or whatever, but they've never done it to this degree, meaning when I was in Green Bay and they talked about always having a quarterback plan, it was, hey, we're going to draft one well ahead. But to pay top of the market for a free agent quarterback, then to go pay top 10 currency for a quarterback at that point, when a top 10 pick has to be a player that you think is going to be a top five player within 3 to 5 years, we've never seen it. And so I understand the plan, but the execution is so faulty that it's hard for the Atlanta Falcons to ever be right in this. Because if Kirk Cousins plays well and he sits on the sideline, you've given up what should be a blue chip player for the next, 4 to 5 years, making immediate contributions. if Kirk Cousins doesn't play well, you paid a lot of money for a player that doesn't play well, and then you're going to play this top 10 pick. So I understand always wanting to have a succession plan in place, but I've never seen it being as expensive an adventure as the Atlanta Falcons decided to make it.
Yeah, nice way to phrase it. It's going to be an expensive adventure for sure for the quarterback room down there in the ATL. Bucky, when you look at maybe non-quarterbacks, and we saw six of them go, obviously, in the top 12 picks, is there anybody else out there that you think can make a real immediate impact as we always look in the futures market here for certain teams? Is there a player or two that you think maybe flew below the radar?
Yeah, like the most important thing, like in the scouting process, is fit in scheme. How does a player fit in scheme? And what you hope is that people draft towards that. To me, I can't think of a better fit in scheme than Laiatu Latu going to the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts want to use a four-man rush. They want to free these guys up with like wide nine alignments. And Laiatu Latu is the best pass rusher in the draft. He can win with speed. He can win with quickness. He can win with power. He has a full toolbox of movements that allows him to win in a variety of different ways. And so for me, he's a perfect fit for what the Indianapolis Colts want to do and how they want to play. So I'm really, really impressed with like him potentially being able to go and do it. And then I would say this, like, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers not only knocked it out of the park with their first round pick, but I think they drafted to their brand. So Troy Fontana being able to be an inside player, but then you have to backstop it because to give them Zach Frazier and then Mason McCormick, that gives them three linemen that are rough, rugged. And so as they kind of remake their offensive line, they're doing it to the brand where they want to be a more physical team. I think that works. And then you throw in Peyton Wilson, who I thought was the best linebacker in the draft, who plays like at a different pace when you watch him with his instincts and awareness. If not for the medical, I thought he would be a surefire first round pick. I feel like those guys in Pittsburgh's class will work, and they always kind of nail it when it comes to wide receivers outside the first round. So I just happen to think that they got a bunch of players that should make an immediate impact at all levels of the draft.
Bucky, what's your feeling on the Chargers? You know, I know they picked Ault, and the Giants claimed they were trying to trade up to get Ault at three, but they never called the Arizona Cardinals at four, which is shocking. So once Drake May went off the board, you know, they still said they wanted Ault, but we'll see. What's your view on the Chargers and the Rams? You're there in Los Angeles. I think both teams are going to be improved next year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think both teams are improved. Now, here's the thing about Jim Harbaugh, and it's funny because most times coaches don't telegraph what they're doing. But he's told us since he took the job, it's about the offensive line. It's about establishing the offensive line because the offensive line is the one position that takes care of everybody, makes everybody better, makes the defense better, makes the offense better, or whatever. And his points right after taking off, we consider the offensive line to be an offensive weapon. To me, I loved it because when you watch his blueprint for rebuilding teams, it always starts up front of the offensive line. He did it at Stanford. He did it with the Niners. He did it with Michigan. He's going to do it with the Chargers. So I love the fact that Ault was the guy, regardless of people saying, like, oh, they need a wide receiver. I was like, well, that's not how they play. They're going to line up and run it at the line of scrimmage. The Rams, to me, also did a really good job. No one person can replace what Aaron Donald is taking with him when he walks out the door. But the fact that the Rams finally utilized the first-round pick on a power rusher and Jerry Burks, they back it up with Braden Fisk, an interior disruptor who plays with great effort, great energy, great toughness. They go and get Blake Corum, who I think people are missing what the Rams have quietly done. They went from being a zone scheme to a gap scheme. So now you get a player in Blake Corum who played in that scheme, who I believe has like the best feet and vision and body balance of all the running backs that were coming out. They have now kind of found a way to kind of recreate their identity. And with a bunch of young players that they played with last year, I think they're better. So both teams in L.A. are much better today than they were ahead of the draft.
About 90 seconds to go here with Bucky Brooks. Does a great job in the NFL Network. Bucky, I got to ask you, we talk about the ATL. We know that Penix, I guess, if best case scenario, he sits for years there. What about J.J. McCarthy? They move up to 10, one spot to get him out of Michigan, and he's sitting behind Sam Darnold. That's not exactly Kirk Cousins. Is this a guy they should play right away, or do you think they're going to kick the tires on Darnold to begin the year?
Look, man, I will say this. I feel like there's this great fascination with Sam Darnold within the league that I don't know if any quarterback has been given the grace that he's been given. I feel like Kevin O'Connell will certainly give Sam Darnold every opportunity to play it out and have a quote-unquote Baker Mayfield moment. But I will say, like, J.J. McCarthy, to me, was really intriguing. And I know, like, on the outside, and some of the things, I know Michael will express this, some of the things that's frustrating on the outside world as a media member but who has real football stuff is people don't have an appreciation for a quarterback who wins. This guy won a lot, and he was, look, a five-star recruit who elected to go to Michigan, who decided to check his ego at the door to play for a running team. This dude brings in intangibles and qualities that I think you can win with. Maybe his ceiling is that of what Alex Smith was, but Alex Smith won a lot of games in this league once he got with the right program. I think in Minnesota, J.J. McCarthy can play like an Alex Smith, have a lot of success because the weapons around him are good. I think he can play right away, even though I normally don't favor guys who don't have a lot of experience. I think he learned how to play the right way under Jim Harbaugh, and I think at some point they may hand him the ball and ask him to win some games in Minnesota.
Absolutely love that as somebody is holding a ticket on the Vikings there to surprise a little bit this year. Bucky, appreciate the time and the information as always. Thanks for hopping on.
Great job, Bucky. Thank you, Bucky. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
There he is, everybody. Bucky Brooks, thanks for joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. When we come back, Michael, we got much more to get to, including maybe some betting choices out there for Rookie of the Year. We'll discuss that next when you come back with us right here on the Lombardi Line.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day, and regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland, a man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I am Dave Ross here, DraftKings Sportsbook rather, and in for Femi today, I am Dave Ross. Michael, great to be with you today. Going to have a great show today. Going to have Bucky Brooks join us to talk all things NFL. In just a little bit, Jonathan Von Tobel is going to join us to talk NBA. Plenty of draft news still to cipher through now that we get a little bit removed from it. But I do want to start with the NBA and get your thoughts on what you saw. And I know we got a lot to get to. The big shocker last night in Denver with Anthony Edwards, 43 points. Minnesota getting a big win. We got a game 7 today between Cleveland and Orlando. But you're there. You're close to Philly. We haven't talked to you since the 76ers defeat. Oh. And I don't mean to start it off on a bummer note, but you're so close to the organization, to the city and everything.
There's no bummer.
So I just got to know what's going on in
Philly.
There's
no bummer. There's reality. There's just reality. Well, when I worked for the Cleveland Browns, Art Modell used to always say, kid, we sell hope. Mm. And, a guy that grew up in Brooklyn, New York, we'll get him next year, was the Dodgers line or the Giants when they played there. Next year we'll get him. And so he believed in hope. And so that's all us 76er fans have is hope, is because this process has gone on for 10 years. Embiid's been there 10 years. It's gone on longer. And it hasn't advanced past the second round. So, you know, now there's a lot of, it's like the Warren Commission. A lot of people have different variations of why it didn't. But at the end of the day, you know, this team is going nowhere and no one's going to have the guts to tear it down. I think the one thing, David, that we have learned through this playoff series and through the lack of the way the older players have to take care of their bodies in the NBA, the 82-game schedule, is there's no really old team left. I mean, the Clippers are gone. Harden had nothing left in his legs. Of course, the Sixers may trade for Paul George. He'll have nothing left in his legs next May, you know. And so when you look at the Lakers, LeBron, as great as he is, it's hard for him. These older teams really struggle. We got Cleveland and Orlando today, two young teams. The Knicks, a young team, right? Mm. Milwaukee went with Lillard, older team. Giannis is hurt. I mean, to me, there's a pattern here. Phoenix, older team. Minnesota, young team. To me, there's a pattern. And that pattern indicates that if you want to really contend, you can't go this older team even as much rest as you have. I mean, how long have we been waiting for Kawhi Leonard to be healthy or Joel Embiid to be healthy? Everybody says, well, we'll get him next year because Embiid will be healthy. Really? He's never been healthy for a playoff series ever. 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 So to me, that's what the lesson is. And as an executive in any sport, mm-hmm. whether it's the NBA or the NFL, age does matter. The older you become, the harder it is to stay healthy, and it's the harder to play really well. Brett Veach said the other day when they gave Travis Kelce the big contract, he doesn't look like he's 36. Well, that's because we're in May. Trust me, in November, he'll look like he's 36.
That's the part about it, being an executive, turning over a roster and making it younger, but still keeping whatever core you think is there to be able to compete. How difficult is that? And you've done it. You know what that's like. How to infuse that that younger blood, keep some of the old, but not all of the old, because I think you just diagrammed it perfectly in the NBA this year. It does feel to be like a stark difference between when you saw Minnesota sweep out Kevin Durant, and Booker's not even old, but you know, you look at it and you go, wow, it just feels like young legs versus old legs here. Is it really that simple? And how do you do that delicate balance of turning over a roster while staying competitive?
Well, I think the number one thing, and the 76ers won't adhere to this, is they can't fall into the then is then, now is now rule, right? Daryl Morey, the 76ers president, GM, I mean, all he cares about is numbers. Paul George's numbers, if he tries to sign him, are not relevant from what he's done in the past to what he does. You have to be able to see a veteran player and predict the future. But to think you're going to get 35 minutes or 40 minutes in a playoff series with guys that legs are diminishing is really not reality. So you have to build your team around that. And you've got to do a really good job of developing young players like Oklahoma City has done. And we'll see them against the Dallas Mavericks, or change the roster as Dallas has done with a good job, whether it's been the drafting of Lively or the addition of PJ Washington. I think those things have come in and made, you know, Doncic is not an old player. Older player. Kyrie Irving is still playing at a high level of his game. He's not considered old. So I think that's what you have to do. You have to have the right balance, and it's critical because it is a young man's game, especially in the NBA. And the notion that, well, you have to have a top pick to get great players. Well, the Sixers had top picks. Jameel Okafor, that didn't work out. Ben Simmons, that didn't work out. You know, Embiid's a great talent, never got past the second round. The only MVP who's never been to a final. So, like, tell me, Markelle Fultz was the first pick overall in a draft. You know, they're not there. So I think that's really unreal. Their best player is Tyrese Maxey, who was picked 20th. See, that violates the process theory right there.
I think the Sunner to come out so far of the NBA playoffs, not only did Minnesota get that sweep against Phoenix, and you saw Anthony Edwards dunk over KD in a two-point game, you know, fourth quarter to close out. It's like a moment. And then they go to Denver yesterday, and Ant puts up 43. They beat the Joker and the Nuggets 106-99 to take a one-game-to-none lead there. Remember that the price of the Nuggets coming into that series is only about, they were about a 2-1 betting favorite. And I went, boy, it feels light. Doesn't feel light anymore when you look at the way Minnesota did it. And I know that the LeBron stands are already mad at everybody going, boy, Anthony Edwards reminds you of somebody. He for people of a certain age, Michael, that we, you know, we lived it, we watched it, we saw it. he does have some of those similarities. You never put him in the MJ conversation. Of course, he's got a whole career to go, fourth year guy. But it does feel different, does it not, when you see something like Anthony Edwards and what's happening with Minnesota? I don't know if they can win the series against Denver, but they're off to a flying start.
They are. And, you know, JVT talked about it, and he thought the number was too long for Minnesota in this when we had him. And we'll look forward to having him at 10:30 today because, you know, with Reed and some of the additions they made. I mean, yeah, think about this, David. They won that game last night, and McDaniels, one of their best players, mm-hmm. was 0-for-7 from the floor. Didn't score, but he was plus 14 in the game. Pretty good, right? And so you got to credit Tim Connelly because when he made the Gobert trade, and everybody said, how in the hell is Gobert and Towns ever going to play together, right?
Right.
And yet he knew Towns wasn't really a center. Towns, you know, he won the three-point shooting contest. I mean, this guy can range and he can run the floor. I mean, he is what Embiid wants to be. Embiid wants to be a three-point shooter and play out in the perimeter and a small forward. Towns does it, right? Towns only had 4 rebounds in the game. Think about it. He's a 7-foot guy. You know, he's the new school 7-footer. And I think to me, credit Conley here when he came over from Denver. And this series means a lot to him because obviously if this the change of ownership in Minnesota, he has an out in his contract to leave. If Glenn Taylor comes back in and runs the team, he's gone. And that'll really affect Minnesota because they've done a nice – I mean, Naz Reid's a second-round pick?
Yeah.
Now, Edwards was always the best player in the country. Went to Georgia. You know, Tom Crean recruited him to go to Georgia, and then he left after a year. And unfortunately, he never – you know, he was a young player. He never showed this skill at Georgia on a consistent basis. You saw it, but he has so improved his jump shooting.
He again, this is not – everybody don't freak out. But we saw MJ win a national championship at UNC, a lot of us that lived through that and saw it. And then you saw the development once he got to the next level. You're starting to see that in a fourth-year guy. It didn't happen for MJ overnight, right? We saw the 63 in the Garden as a rookie, and that put everybody's antenna up. And then you saw the years and struggle to try to get through the bad boy Pistons. And then it all came through. I'm not saying that's going to be the arc of an Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, but it does really look good, and I can't wait to talk to JVT about these series prices now because Minnesota's now favored to win this series at minus $1.20 now that they have home court. And when you hear Anthony Edwards talk, and I know when you talk to these kids as an executive, and now he's a fourth-year player, so he's not a kid, but it doesn't sound like they're you know, all shucks and surprised to be here. They're like, we know who we are. Like, we know we're supposed to be here.
Right. I mean,
that's confidence.
They were the number one team in the West this year, David. Yep. I mean, they were the best team in the West. I mean, so they have confidence. And look, I think the bench for Denver's going to have to really kind of get themselves going because the bench yesterday produced 15 points. They really couldn't get anything. And as the game went on, it became harder. And, you know, Murray got better in the second half. But to me, look, Minnesota, Denver's not going to go away. They're going to be punches and counterpunches here in this series. Especially when you consider Jokic was 11 for 25 from the field. You know, that's never going to happen twice in a game. He's minus 12. But I think it's going to be a fun series to watch. Yep. Just like I think Dallas and Orlando is going to – I mean, Dallas and Oklahoma City is going to be fun to watch because these are 4 relatively young teams. And if you're being honest with yourself and you're at the Lakers, and I'm sure Will Hill will make many of these decisions as we move forward, you know, you're going to have to make – you're going to have to call this forward. You know, you're going to have to look at, say, how do we get out of the West?
Right.
We're not better than these 4 teams.
Well,
that's what makes the LeBron decision as we wait for it. So – interesting because he's not, no matter what happens to the Lakers, no matter who they hire, they're not better than these 4 teams.
No, Darvin Ham is the problem. Apparently, we'll find out if changing the coach in LA is going to be the difference maker next year, but I don't see it. Very quickly, obviously going to talk a lot of NFL throughout the show. Did you have Mystic Dan on your Kentucky Derby card yesterday?
No, I didn't. I think I had the horse who finished last in the race. You know,
a fierceness. But, yeah,
I mean, it's so fun, isn't it?
It is amazing.
I mean, isn't it so much fun to watch and to see and to read about these horses and where they come from and how they develop and the trainers. And I mean, it's just a special day, 2 minutes of fun. And that, you know, I couldn't tell who won when I looked at the race. Did you?
No, I no idea. The photo finish was spectacular. You and I were talking about it before the show a little bit. You know, I'm not a big horse guy, but I understand how every year that 2 minutes, it is the most spectacular 2 minutes in sports. sports. It's absolutely riveting. And props to Mystic Dan. What a great race. Held on the inside to win by a nose. Hadn't had a photo finish in quite some time. All right, when we come back, let's talk all things NFL, starting off with OBJ. Will he be a difference maker in Miami? That's next here on the Lombardi Line. Some way. How do you think that Mike McDaniel, because, you know, if you watch Hard Knocks, you get this kind of genius moniker that goes with him, at least offensively. And I think some of the schemes he did are innovative. But I ask you, Michael, how do you think he's going to utilize OBJ? Or is it really just he's just a guy now and he's got to be that guy, whatever that might be in our offense, even if it's not featured?
Well, I think what he's basically saying to all of us, he's saying, look, you know, I've got two really great receivers in Tyreek Hill and I've got, Waddle. And so instead of worrying about Braxton Berrios in the slot, instead of worrying about River Crackcraft, you know, and these other receivers that they had on the team, I'm going to sign Odell. I'm going to get, remember, they traded for Chase Claypool last year,
mm-hmm.
right? Remember that?
Oh,
I know
yeah.
they didn't give up anything for him. Or Cedric Wilson. You know, they've been trying to get this third receiver kind of thing going, and it really hasn't worked out. Because let's face it, you know, you want certain players to play a role within the offense. If you're throwing the ball to Odell and you're not throwing it to Tyreek, something's going on, or to Waddle, right? You can't double everybody. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And we know this. Miami has yet to beat a good team. We're still waiting on that because they have no power. You know, they have no power in their offensive line. Teron Armstead's always going to be hurt. And, you know, they drafted a kid, Patrick Paul, to be his backup. We'll see if that works out. They signed Aaron Brewer from Tennessee, who was looking to upgrade their offensive line, and they signed Brewer. I mean, this offensive line is going to be the detriment of it, especially when they have to go on the road and the weather starts to become poor and you've got to do it. And then we turn our attention to the defense. Are they going to be good enough defensively? You know, they have a coordinator, you know, that they hired that has been a front seven coach, Anthony Weaver, in Baltimore. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do in the back end. They hired Joe Barry from the Packers to help out in the back end. We'll see. But can they cover? I mean, they've got a lot. Like, they signed Jordan Poyer. There's another example. We need a veteran guy. Well, Poyer's was a good player at one time, but he's not the same player he once was.
Great point. And we're going to see another older player here for the Jets. And that's, of course, Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old. And Robert Saleh says he does not expect that Achilles to be a problem or have any restrictions once we get to OTAs. Who's running that team? Is it Robert Saleh? Is it Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I can't figure it out, but
I don't think you need to have that question answered. We know who runs that team. You know, I mean, just you listen to the head coach. You can't put him in charge. I mean, he's just a cheerleader is really what he is, and it's kind of interesting. And look, all the pressure's on him. I mean, the Ifers have all the pressure on him. If they stay healthy, they have improved their team. If Mike Williams plays, if Aaron Rodgers plays, but we don't know this, right? We don't know what that Achilles is going to look like, and he doesn't really know. He can say, I feel great, but if you don't have that quickness, if you don't have that ability to burst, it can become problematic for him. And, you know, for all the talk about how great they are on defense, Pittsburgh won 10 games without even a good defense, and the Jets couldn't win. The Jets won 7.
Mm.
Think about that. Now they blame it on the quarterback.
Right.
But, I mean, they haven't changed the offense. Nathaniel Hackett's still the offense coordinator.
Do you want, if you're an executive here with the Jets, do you want to see what he can do at OTAs to get him back out there and test it? Or do want to keep him
Absolutely.
Get him out there.
No, I want to see what he looks like. I want to see what he plants and throws, and I want to see where he can go. Here's what you don't want. You don't want the trainers to come to you and the conditioning coach say, this is the best he's ever been, and then he looked bad.
Oh.
That's what happened to us when we had Trent Richardson in Cleveland. You know, the strength coach, he couldn't wait to come running to me. This kid's in great shape. He's in great shape, you know, and he's amazing. He's good. And then you watch him on the field, he couldn't run to the edge. So if this, and I wasn't saying this negatively about Brad Love, the strength coach, I was basically saying, if this is the best he is and I believe you, then this isn't good enough.
Yeah, that's the right? bigger problem.
And this isn't good enough. At some point, nobody finishes the sentence. I'm in the best shape of my life, but you may not be good enough. So I think that's the decision they've got to make. And look, they're going in with their eyes closed. They're going to convince themselves, and all we're going to read about in all these rookie camps or mini camps or OTA is how great he looks. So just prepare for that. Just take another good 6 weeks of enjoying that with your coffee.
Yeah, 40 years old, never looked better. We're going to get all that rhetoric coming out of
Jetskip. Never looked greater.
Tell me what's
amazing.
Goes,
you know, it's like he's 30 again.
The 40s is the new 20, apparently. I remember covering those rookie camps in D.C. as an executive. We got six of those teams getting ready to host those rookie camps this weekend. What are you looking for when these rookies show up for the first time?
Conditioning is the only thing you're looking for. Who's in shape and who can't get through a practice? Because most of them won't be able to do it. Most of them have been spending the last 2 months being recruited, being told how great they are. You have to de-recruiting begins in rookie camp, and you got to get them to face reality. I saw it today. Baltimore had a couple guys that are missing. One guy sprained ankle, another guy hamstrings. Why do you think we have hamstrings? Because we haven't been running. We haven't been working. That's really the thing is you got to bring these players in and inundate them into the system, into the scheme, into the offseason program without injuries occurring because they're not in good shape and they're way too heavy and they're going to have to lose weight. They're going to have to get their bodies ready for the rigors of training camp. And so you can't judge anybody at this point. There's no judgment. There's no evaluation. It's all about conditioning. That's really what it's about, condition. Who's in shape? Who can get through the practice without puking?
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. I remember in the mid-2000s, the Washington Nationals were having their first ever spring training down in Vieira, Florida. Frank Robinson was the skipper, God rest his soul, the Hall of Famer. And I said, Frank, these guys look great. And he goes, well, what do you see? And I go, well, they look good in the cages. And he goes, cages? I'm 70 years old. I can look good in the cages. So I learned very quickly that you guys as evaluators are looking for different things than what we're looking for in the media. And to your point there with the rookie camp, can you get through it without throwing up? That's what we're looking for some conditioning. So low bars to be set. Very quickly, Michael, we see 18 of the 32 first-round picks from 2021 have had their fifth-year options picked up. What does that say? Does it say 14 couldn't quite make it? 18, we're going to invest one more year in. Is that a significant stat to you?
Well, I think a lot of it is predicated on the cost, right? We see this cap go up and the value of the player. What you're asking yourself is, can we replace this player in the open market for cheaper? And the answer at equal value in terms of performance, not in terms of number. I think that's the fundamental question. And so you can. I mean, T. Higgins is a guy that they just said to themselves, now he wasn't a first rounder, but look, at $20 million, we can't replace it. We would rather have him than spend $20 million somewhere else. So a lot of this is a 1 year. You may let him go and see, but it's probably the prudent play. The quarterbacks four of the quarterbacks are the reasons why the other 14. So that only really leaves 10 players that didn't get their option picked up. And so as it moves forward, I mean, this is the key, is to make sure that you keep your good players.
With JVT next here in the Lombardi Line.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.